praise today, and let's give them thanksgiving. I believe and hope that you're ready for some word. Man, we really enjoyed Nikki last week. Nikki, I just want to say thank you. And she has a way, doesn't she, of bringing that fresh word, that now word from the Lord. And she did that. And if you missed that, it's online. Go back and look at it. It's worth hearing again and again and again. And share it with other people. Amen? Be a media missionary. Well, isn't that fun? Yeah. And so that'll be fantastic. Okay. I've got Isaiah 40 up. This is Joy is Our Birthright. This is part two. It's probably going to be a part three. But I'm just announcing to you, about the time I work on this during the week and meditate on it, it gets a little longer. All right, I'm not shocking anybody with that information. But what I'm telling you is that, man, the Lord's really shared with me some things. I really want you to catch. Because if you catch this, it'll change the way you view the Lord. It'll change the way situations on earth. It'll change the way you view yourself. And there's hope in this. And I really want you to catch it, okay? This is in Isaiah chapter 40, and you say, well, it's not really talking about joy. Well, it really is. Joy is our birthright. And what I'm saying to you is the Lord is joy. He doesn't give you joy like the world's joy. The world's joy is based on something real good happening. Jesus' joy is based on who he is. And he is joy. And it's not something to attain. It's something you've already obtained because he's in you. And when you receive Jesus, you get the full measure of Jesus in you. And the fruit of the Spirit describes who he really is in you. And so really and truly on the inside of you, if you've accepted Christ. Now see, that's why we give opportunity on a regular basis, because there's people that go to church, people that live in church, and they don't know Jesus. And there's a big difference between knowing about them between the ears and knowing them in your heart. I had a guy tell me not too long ago that I prayed with to accept Christ. He said, you know, it took all my life for Jesus to go from here to here. I want to tell you, that's only about 12 inches, but that's a major distance because it has a major effect on eternity. It has a major effect on your life here. It's Jesus' life once you get him. And you get all of them. And he's inside of you. And our adventure and discovery in this life is to learn of him, get to know him, and look in this mirror right here, because the Bible says this is a mirror, and see what you really, really are. See what you really, really look like. And to renew your computer right here to agree with God. And to confess, I want to tell you what the word confess means. It means to say with. And to confess, say with God who you are and who he is and what your purpose is here and what it's all about. If we can get you lined up on that, I'm telling you, you shake hell. Hell is scared of you. Because they know you lay hold of Jesus. You lay hold of these promises. It's unlimited. Let me say it again. It's unlimited with what God wants to do in your life. What God will use your life. How you'll use your life. What he'll do with your life. And so I'm telling you, joy is in you. There's a limitation. See, blockages come. You say, well, okay, I know I have Jesus in my heart. I don't see or feel any joy. Well, it's greater than an emotion, number one. It's a spiritual reality in you, and emotion does get there. I mean, you do experience the emotion of joy, but it's a real joy inside of you that's supernatural, that's a greater reality than your emotion. So your emotion is not a good temperature gauge. What I want to tell you is this. is that it's important for you to understand that we receive who he is, and his joy is manifest in us by focusing on who he is and the spiritual reality of that, and then it becomes in the physical realm. It's in the invisible, but it becomes physical. It's in the invisible, but it becomes visible. And that's part of our journey here. And I want you to know about that. There's hindrances, and what it happens is like blockages. And blockages are dangerous. There are events that can happen in your life that act like a blockage that keep you from receiving the joy. It's like a hindrance. It's like a quenching that takes place. And, you know, if you have a blockage to the brain, that's a brain attack, a stroke, right? If you have a blockage to the heart, that can cause a heart attack. Okay, if you have a blockage in your eyes, you can be blind. If you have a blockage in your emotions, I'm telling you that causes problems. Now, there's no condemnation here because that happens in this journey on this earth. But the good news is that Jesus, cover to cover, is presented Yahweh, Yeshua, Jesus saves. He's your rescue. And so what he loves to do is to rescue from emotional blockage. He heals the heart. He said, I've come to bind up the brokenhearted. Broken hearts happen on this journey. Hurt, wound, experiences. All kind of things can happen in this journey that can cause a blockage. But the good news is that Jesus is your rescue. He removes the blockage. Jesus can heal where no psychiatrist, no doctor can. He's real. He knows you deep down better than you know yourself. He can touch that area and set you free. There are two things I'm going to show you in Scripture today that can cause a blockage to keep that joy from flowing. One's fear. Fear can block. Fear can be a blockage. Now, a fear is of the enemy. It's not from God. It's of the enemy. He does not give us the spirit of fear. So who does? Well, the enemy does. What he gives us is a spirit of love, power, peaceful mind. That's Jesus. Fear is not from God. And so since it's not from God, he wants to rescue from you. You from that fear. Another thing is self. Self-reliance, self-dependence, self-confidence. Anything around self can block the flow of God in your life. Self is an enemy. We can call it flesh. We can call it self-will. That hinders the Lord. He, more than anything else, wants your fellowship, wants your cooperation. You say, well, God's God. I've had people tell me he knows where I live. If God wants to do it, he'll do it. He wants to do it. That's what Jesus came to show us. He's already said yes to you. He's already said yes to your future, to your life. He's already said yes to for you to be set free from your past. That's what the blood of Jesus, that's what the cross is all about, and we can receive that. You can receive him today, and you can be free from your past. Now, I want to tell you something. Self can hinder, and I'm going to show you how that happens. And self is the greatest enemy to walking with God. Yeah, well, it's the devil. No, I'm telling you, the devil only gets away with what we cooperate with. Okay, I want to tell you, the biggest enemy is who you look at in the mirror. And so I'm just saying to you, that's real, but I want to tell you, the greater reality is that you can deny self, you can lay self down. You can submit and surrender self to the Lord. Now, if you want to try to fight self like a lot of Christians are doing, I'm just going to announce something to you, very prophetic, you wore out. and you beat up and you defeated. Because I want to tell you, our victory comes from the Lord. Something you're going to hear today, I want it imprinted on your heart. The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. And so our part is to cooperate. Kind of get self out of the way and allow God to be God in our life. He really wants that. Okay, Isaiah 40. Ready? Now, he loves to give power for joy to those who are faint and weary. Wait a minute. He loves to give power for peace to those who are faint and weary. He loves to give the power of his love, his fresh touch of love, to those who are faint and weary. Do you see that? He loves to do this. He doesn't frown to rescue you. He smiles to rescue you. I want to tell you what he loves more than anything else is for you to say help. For you to say, I can't, you can. He loves that. It's on, my friend, when you come to that. He loves to give power to the faint and weary, and to him who has no might or no joy, no peace, no love, he increases strength. I want to tell you, strength is a great bridge word to health. You don't see health, the word health, a lot in Scripture, but strength is that bridge word. You see strength, you can put health there. He loves to cause it to multiply and make it abound. That's what he loves to do. Even the youth, even the strongest of the strong, shall faint and be weary. And even the best of the young men, even the Marines, shall feebly stumble and fall exhausted. Now, in the New King James, I love the way it puts it. It says, utterly, utterly fail. And when you look up utterly fail, it's like double time. Multiple failing. And so I'm just going to announce this, and you may not like it. It's okay. Keep listening. He did not design you to be strong in yourself. The world preaches this. Religion preaches this. You just be good enough, strong enough, good enough, long enough to please God. No, that's not the way it works. We come with our need to him. We come with our weakness to him. You got it. He's on it. And so I'm just announcing to you that even the strongest of the strong, he says, will utterly fail. Double time. Here we go, verse 31. Are you ready? Those of you that want to see joy released in your life, peace released in your life, love manifested in your life, that's what the New Testament describes kingdom. Those who wait for the Lord. Now, some people that look at wait for the Lord think that their job is just to be a bump on a stump, you know, and just know nothingness. No, I want to tell you something. Waiting on the Lord is not a nothingness position. Actually, waiting on the Lord is spirit-directed activity, okay, and it's toward him. Not to the outside, but toward him. Because he loves to work from inside out. And so those who are, you know, we talk about it like this, A-S-K, ask, seek, and knock. And so waiting on the Lord is seeking the Lord. It's asking. It's knocking. It's turning your heart toward him. And Scripture says those that he's looking, his eyes are roaming to and fro across the whole earth, which means right here in this building, up and down every row, every seat. He's looking for those hearts today that will turn toward him. And if you will simply turn your heart toward him, heaven sees it, it's on. Because he's looking to show himself mighty in your behalf. It's simple. You say, it can't be that simple. That's the way God likes it. Because this way, he gets the honor and glory, and you're not able to brag on your smartness that made it happen, or your strength that made it happen. Man, I got some, oh man, I can't hardly wait to get to it. Okay, I'm trying to take time. But look what happens. Those that wait for the Lord, who put their expectation on Him, not on themselves, but on Him, not on Uncle Sam, but on Him, not on the bank, but on Him, who expect and look for and put their hope in Him. What are you putting your hope in? Who are you putting your hope in? This is what it says. Change is coming. Wow, we love it when that happens. Somebody say rescue. Yeah. Let me tell you, peace is coming. Peace is already in here. Joy is already in here. Love's already in here, because that's Jesus inside of you if you're saved. But I want to tell you the manifestation of that. Hey, you may not experience it through the night. Sometimes there's nights where our battle is to rest, is to position our heart and our mind, position our heart, our mind into believing in the Lord and resting and waiting and trusting in God. But I want to tell you, the good news is this. Joy comes in the morning, my friend. Joy's coming. Joy will be manifest. Keep waiting. Don't quit. I'm trying to encourage you. If you don't quit, you're going to win this. Hey, don't quit till you win. Because He's paid for it. And so it's very, very important here. Change is coming. And they will renew their strength and power. Now, I want to tell you what this renew. Let's say it like this. Somebody say the word exchange. That's what it is. It's an exchange of your weakness, your need, His strength. We submit and surrender. Bible says, Jesus said, bring your burdens to Me. Bring them to Me. Bring them to Me. Bring them to Me. Lay them down at His feet. There will be an exchange. He takes your burden. He takes your weakness. Hey, listen, He wants you to bring your struggle to Him. There's a tendency for us to deny we have one. That's not spiritual life. That's religious life. That's pretend life. That's human life. He wants you to bring your weakness to Him, and He will do an exchange. Don't you love that? He will give you His strength. Hey, what is it? Joy? Hey, he take your sorrow, He give you His joy. He takes the disturbance in your heart and your mind, He gives you His peace. He takes the rejection that you've experienced with wrong words and people. And you know what he gives you? His acceptance and His love. That's your Jesus. And that's the way He's designed this to operate. They will renew, they'll exchange strength and His power. They shall lift up their wings and mount up close to God as eagles as they mount to the sun. Beautiful Blonde and I, our favorite restaurant is toward the east of here, outside of the big city, on a ranch. And I want to tell you, we were there, big, beautiful glass windows, looking out over a lake in this restaurant. And eagles were up fishing on that little lake. Beautiful. Saw deer, eagles. And when the eagles, I was watching them, and when they took off, you know what they did? This is how they took off. They went like this. I'm announcing to you. They just opened up their wings. And the wind lifted them up. Now, there were some little ducks on the water. We got ducks that hang out at our concrete pond right here in the big city. Now, because of the fences and the short pond that it is, when they take off, it's serious. They are beating the water. It is furious activity for them to make it over the fence. Okay? And the cats think they're watching Disney Channel. I'm telling you, they love it. But I'm telling you, as I'm watching that, you see, let me tell you something. It's not by your self-struggle, eagle. It's not by your self-struggle. It's not by your furious flapping of wings. You know what you do? You just surrender. And the wind of the Spirit will lift you up close to the S-O-N. That's beautiful. Now, a lot of Christians are acting like ducks, trying to make it happen. Man, God's told you, you're like an eagle. You'll run and not be weary. That's not operating off your strength. Aren't you tired of your strength? Hey, they'll walk and not faint or become tired. Now, I want to tell you, there's a walk with God that energizes you. There's a walk of man that'll wear you out. But there's a walk with God that the more you walk with God and the longer you walk with God, the more energized you are. Wow. So here's a question. Now, we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty, okay? Are you confident in your strength? Because if you are, I just got a little announcement to make. If you're confident in your strength, you hinder your walk with God. It's a trap. Don't buy the Kool-Aid of the world and drink it. That it's by your own strength. It's by pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. It's by your will making it happen. Man, I hear that preached. Hey, I want to tell you what that is. That's a trap. You're going to trip up. That's bait that's going to trap you. Hey, people tell me something. Well, I'm not weak now. I'm on a pretty good roll. I'm making some things happen. Well, you're not needy right now. Let me make an announcement soon and very soon, my friend. Because this journey on this earth will cause you to experience need and weakness. He didn't design you to be strong. He designed you to be weak so you would need him. Because that's your rescue. Are you with me on that? Boy, big amen on that one. Okay, but the journey makes even the strong weak. Do you see that in the Bible? And so here's the deal. Don't deny your weakness. Okay, you got to be honest and open before Jesus. Now, I'm going to say this. You know, it's wrong to get on the book of face and talk to the whole world and make weakness your profession. That's not healthy. The Bible warns about psychological nakedness. Don't do that. But I want to tell you, it's healthy for you to be completely honest and open before God. And it's also healthy for you to have a brother or sisters in the Lord that you can be honest and open before them. Openness before man actually testifies of your genuineness before God. And so it's an important ingredient to have a circle of brothers, sisters, you can be honest and open with. I'm honest and open with my wife. She hears things from me you don't hear. You can be glad about that. But I want to tell you, hey, listen, this is what I'm talking about. She's safe because she's not going to take what my struggle, my weakness, a wrong thought or a wrong attitude, she's not going to take that and put that on the book of faith. She's not going to expose on that. You know what she's going to do? Love covers on that. But I want to tell you what she does. She'll listen to my heart, and then she'll preach my own sermon back at me. And she's good at it because she works on them too. She'll remind me. Well, last week I heard a sermon. No, I want to tell you, that's healthy. Because I want to tell you what a true friend will do. A true friend will hear your heart, will listen to the wrong attitude, wrong thought patterns, wrong junk, and then they'll lovingly but honestly point you to Jesus and agree with you to lay that down at the feet of Jesus, and let's get on with the growing part. Let's get on with the victory part. Let's get it lined out. That's what true friend does. Now, if you've got a group of people around you and people are professional at doing this, getting a group of people around them that's just going to cheerlead whatever they say, There are people that are so full of mercy, they feel sorry for the devil. I'm trying to be a little funny, but I'm telling you, listen to me. There's room for mercy. And we need to comfort one another. We need to cry with one another. We need to rejoice with one another. But I want to tell you, in the bottom line, if we don't bring each other to truth, hey, we're robbing each other of the opportunity to respond like we need to. And so I'm telling you, see, this is what being a true friend is, a true brother, a true sister, okay, is that, you know what, you listen to the heartbeat, and you lovingly, you love on them, you encourage them, you're Jesus with skin on with them, and then you lovingly point them to Jesus and help them, let's go there, okay? You don't say God bless them and run off, okay? You're a help, you're willing to get the boots on and get in there in the pit with them. So let me just say it like this. Your strength has an expiration date. And it's soon and very soon. You're made weak to need him. He's our rescue. You're not your rescue. Another human is not your rescue. I want to tell you, one of the fallacies is this, and there are some marriage seminars that teach that your husband's your Jesus. Or your wife's your Jesus. Well, no. I'm telling you, they can be Jesus with skin on. They can be a great strength and a great comfort. They can stand alongside. But I want to tell you something. If you depend on your mate to be your Jesus, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be offended. I want to tell you something. We're to help one another. But be advised, you must look to Jesus to be your high priest. You need to look to Jesus to be your rescue and not another human. Don't look at a pastor. Don't look at people on this leadership team and say, they're my rescue. Now, the Lord can use them to help rescue you, but your focus has got to be Jesus and not a human. You get your focus on a human, you're going to be offended. You get your focus on yourself, you're going to be depressed. And so I'm just telling you, it's our focus. He's our rescue. You're not. Self-confidence is trusting in a weak foundation. We got to umbrella. The greatest medicine is enjoying his presence. The word wait doesn't mean lazy. It means seeking him. It means resting in him, coming to the place of believing in him. Sometimes that takes a season. Battle into rest, okay? Lean on him. You're not ever going to go wrong leaning on him. Depend on him. That's what prayer is. It's talking to him. It's getting it out. Being honest with God means saying exactly what's going on the inside. You're not going to surprise him. You're not going to offend him. He wants you to share it. That's where the renew, that's where the exchange of strength comes. Our problem is not our weakness. It's relying on our strength. It's relying on our own wisdom. I got this. I can do this. The sooner we go from I can to I can't, I need you, Lord. I'm going to wait on you, Lord. I'm going to ask and seek and knock. The sooner the exchange and the renewal of strength happens, they shall mount up as eagles. Hey, you know what we're talking about? His energy. His power. You know what we're talking about? Supernatural. The riches of his grace to our poverty, whatever we need. He supersedes the natural because he's supernatural. We don't deny the natural. We're honest and open about it. But it's bringing it to him. Our allegiance, our faith is in El Shaddai. Almighty is more than enough supply. He's our strength. Okay? It goes something like this. Bible talks about, hey, Paul said, hey, I glorify my weakness. You know what? That's your confession, but that's not your profession. Your confession is, you know what? I'm weak. You know what? Hey, we meet with pastors. We love on pastors. This is part of your ministry. And we had, you remember the day we had about five or six pastors at the house. And man, I was excited. They were there, and we spent about 3 hours, and I was pouring into them. And you know what? There was a, I want to just tell you a human tendency. There was just a human tendency. You know, I wanted to present myself successful. I wanted to present myself as a winner. I wanted to present my strengths. You know what the Holy Spirit told me to do as they were walking in? Confess my last failure. Now, wait a minute. We confess our faults. There's a difference between faults and sin, too. We confess our faults. See, that can be general. Sin's very specific, but it can be very general. We confess our faults to one another, receive prayer that we might be delivered, be healed. And so I began to share with them the last time I blew it, the last time I missed God, had an opportunity to minister to someone that came to me. And because I was mad about something else, I cut them off, sent them on their way. Because I was mad. Stupid. But I want to tell you, we do stuff like that. And I confess to them that, you know, how the Lord brought me from that and restored me from that and gave me a fresh sensitivity, all right, to be sensitive to the divine appointments that he brings me and not to limit those opportunities by whatever emotion I'm feeling at the moment. Do you see that? Now, I want to tell you, I had no idea how these guys, I didn't know if they were going to stand up and walk out, right? No, I want to tell you something. They began to share last time the Lord dealt with them. And I want to tell you something. How he brings us from here to here. All right? From our weakness to his strength. And I want to tell you what I saw. One of the mistakes in the body of Christ is that all that the young ones hear, victory, victory, victory. Now I want to tell you. I want to tell you what young ones need to hear. They need to hear victory. But also, if we don't tell them how that the Lord brought us from here to here, or how the Lord recovered us from stumbling from here to here, how the Lord redirected our wrong attitude or wrong action from here to here, if they don't hear that, they think that all we walk in is victory, victory, and they know they don't. They're very aware they don't. And so they say, won't work for me. This works for the super saint. There's no such thing as a super saint. I don't care what they say. They wear this stuff right here. All right? They've got opportunity continually to submit and surrender to the Lord, to surrender our strength to his, our weakness to him. This way, he loves it this way because he gets the honor and glory. Hey, I want to show you this. Boy, I want to really be sensitive here. We want to hide things. Okay? And even our family or sometimes closest friends don't know what our struggles are. That's a problem. I want to tell you, when we hide stuff, stuff grows in the dark. And God never intended. That's why it's important for us to be honest and open. When we're trying to be strong in our flesh, we miss. Okay? Because we're not letting Jesus be a part of our rescue. He wants for you to express your heart. He wants for you to share your need. He wants you to be honest and open with Him. Tell Him all about it. You confess your weakness. You profess His victory. If you're just a confessor and you're not a professor, you haven't gone all the way yet. It sounds something like this. Guys, I've been addicted to nachos in the past. And I'm just going to confess, I still have a taste bud for nachos. Sometimes I dream about them during the night. Sometimes I can smell them even when the beautiful blondes are not cooking them. But that's my confession. Being honest and open. I've never told you not to confess your sins. But the Holy Spirit come not just to reveal to us where we miss. One of the big part of what He does is come to reveal to us who we are. That we're the righteousness of God in Christ. And so it's good to confess your sin. But you need to profess your righteousness. That we're the righteousness of God in Christ. And so the confession goes something like this. I've still got a taste bud for nachos. But I want to tell you something. I'm professing the Lord is my victory. And He manifests self-control because that's who He is. Fruit of the Spirit. He manifests self-control in me. So He's teaching me. And I'm winning the victory over nacho. Because He's my break. He's my victory. Are you listening? Okay, I'm trying to help you and be real practical with it too. But Jesus wants you to let Him in on it. He loves it when we need Him. Because when we need Him and we're professing Him and confessing and professing Him, He's in on it. And that's when the exchange happens. When you see people who are strong in the Lord, strong in the Lord on the outside, it's because they're leaning on and trusting in the Lord on the inside. They've humbled themselves to Him. They're depending on Him. They pour out their hearts to Jesus, and they receive of Him, receive His strength. They receive of Him. And you know what? When you receive of Him, you know what? Everybody around you benefits. Your family benefits. Your marriage benefits. So, let me be real straight. Everybody needs that secret place. That secret place for you to cry before Jesus. Cry before Him. You've heard me say the last few months, because I only got this picture a few months ago, your tears are so precious. You cry to Him, so close to Him, seeking Him, that your tears fall on His feet. Empty yourself out before Him. Your tears and your open heart are precious to Him. Now let me encourage you with this. This is not your battle. This is the Lord's battle. But this is how we cooperate and receive. All right? In 1 Samuel 17, 47, this is what David says, going up before Goliath. He announces that the battle is the Lord's, not his. He had confidence that the battle was the Lord's. And all this assembly, this is his announcement, pronouncement. Philistines and the Israelites. All this assembly shall know that the Lord saves not with the sword and spear. I want to tell you what the sword and spear was. That was self-strength. That was warrior technology. Okay? It's not the world's way. It's not man's way. Are you listening? Okay, so don't follow after the world on this. He says, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. He already had a picture in his heart, and he believed that picture enough to speak it. Well, there's power in that. That the Lord, it's His battle, and He's our victory. Are you listening to that? Same thing with Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles 20. He said, this is what a prophet said to Jehoshaphat and all the people. Hearken, all Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat. The Lord says this to you. Boy, how clear can it be? Be not afraid. Now look, you know what David was talking about? It's not by sword and spear. I told you, self can be a hindrance to you receiving joy, peace, love, wisdom. You know what this is? This points out fear. The Lord says to you, be not afraid. Why? Because fear can hinder, fear can block. Your self-strength can block, can hinder. So, be not afraid or dismayed at this great multitude, these other kings, this massive army that's come out, because God is saying the battle is not yours, the battle's God's. Now, I want to tell you, you got to see this in your life. If you don't see this, you're going to continue to try to struggle on your own. But I want to tell you, revelation can come to you today for you to see this. The battle is the Lord's. Now, with David, there was still something for him to do. He wasn't just a bump on a stump. You know what he had to do? He had to do what God said. Now look, he already announced, I'm going to take a sword and I'm going to cut your head off. Now I want to tell you, he saw that on the inside. Because I want to tell you, he didn't have a sword. He didn't have a sword. From what I understand, King Saul was the only one who had a sword. He didn't have a sword. But he already saw in his heart what God was going to do. The victory meant, I'm going to cut off the head. I'm going to cut your head off with the sword. And so he already saw he was going to defeat Goliath, going to knock him out and grab Goliath's sword and cut his own head off. Do you see that? And so it wasn't self. He was depending on God. With Jehoshaphat, you know what? You know what? Hey, the way the Lord instructed them to battle the fear, submit the fear to God, trust in the Lord, wait on the Lord, depend on the Lord, and he used praise. We're going to get the praisers out. That's why I tell you, you need to praise with enthusiasm. You're having a little trouble, anxiety, a little trouble, fear. Hey, look, no condemnation. That junk comes in this journey. But I want to tell you, hey, and it may last through the night, but I want to tell you, joy comes in the morning, okay? Hey, peace comes in the morning. The strength of God comes. There's an exchange that takes place as you wait upon the Lord. But that's why I tell you, you know what? Hey, yes, it's by faith, but there's also an expression of faith where you put it into action. If David would have just sat down out there on a rock, it wouldn't have happened. He had to put the picture, the direction that God put in his heart, in action. With Jehoshaphat, you know what? They had to put something in action. It was the Lord's battle. It was the Lord's victory. But they had a responsibility to praise. Now, I want to tell you, sometimes as the Lord gives you direction, when you're in a battle, what he gives you doesn't seem to really apply to the victory. As a matter of fact, it may be small and insignificant, like communion. That doesn't hinder God. You know what the expression of faith is? It's a part of our yes to God that we're just putting into action. We hear God and do what he says and let God be God. Wow, joy comes. I love him, don't you? And so, Let's do this. Everybody needs that secret place. And so practice that. Your tears and your open heart are very precious to them. And I'm just got to say this, okay, because, you may not hear this very many places, but forget trying to say the perfect words. There's no such thing as a perfect prayer. Now, we do give direction on praying in a wise way. We did a series, Praying Jesus Style, a couple years ago, and it really went a lot of places. But it's not about the perfect prayer. It's the heart expression. It's the real approach of your heart that matters. You may not even have words. Hey, you're looking at a man who's had some tough nights, tough days, tough nights, tough seasons, where I didn't even know words to pray. I prayed in the Spirit. That helped. But I want to tell you what came out of me sounded more like a dinosaur than anything else. Hey, you say, I just don't have it in me. It's okay. Just cry then. Because he captures your tears. You've heard me say, hey, if all you got's a cry, cry before the Lord. He interprets that. And he makes it right and gives it to Father. He puts his best on your rest. And I want to tell you, your cry goes high. Hey, you say, all I got's a moan. Well, that's okay. Moan before the Lord. Because he takes that moan. Are you listening? See, I'm trying to tell you, get off this perfect, royal English type of prayer. Just pour it out. My wife taught me that term. Pour it out. Pour it out before the Lord. Well, all we'll just moan, but your moan goes to the throne. Just surrender. Share what's in your heart. That prayer, that's him. You say, well, I can't because I don't feel like it. Hey, I got an answer for that. Listen to this. Be honest with him about it. It's okay. You know what? That's strength to you. Confessing your weakness before him and exchange takes place. Just tell him like it is. Lord, I don't even want to pray. I don't even feel like praying. I ain't got it in me. But see, that's all right. That's precious to him. That's open and honest before him. You say, you know, I've handed people the Bible before and given them some, you know, let's look at this together. We'll talk about it next week. They come back and say, I just didn't even have it in me to open the Bible. I said, did you tell them? Well, no, I ain't going to tell them that. Well, he already knows. So let me tell you where the victory is. You tell them, Lord, I don't even have it in me to open it up. Help me. Do you hear that? Tell them, hey, listen, what I'm saying, pour it out. Okay? You don't feel like talking to them? Pour it out. Tell them. Are you mad? Tell them. I was preaching in Florida at a church, and the pastor there, they had a rare cold spell. Killed a number of his orange trees in the backyard. Please excuse my East Texan, but this was a Florida language. He said, I'm mad as H-E double toothpicks. And he didn't say it that way. I said, it's okay. Just tell him. Tell him. Because listen, when you get it out, he can do an exchange. When you give it to him, he can bring what he is to manifest. So, confess your bondage. Confess wrong desires. Confess disappointments. Say it out of your heart until there's a release. You keep doing it until you get a release. A lot of Christians just take a step at it and run off. Man, no. Hang out with Jesus and pour it out till you get a release, till you've laid it all at his feet. God knows what you're going through. He knows all the fears and troubles in your life, and he's not surprised and he's not shocked. He wants you to bring those burdens to him. He can supernaturally give you release, but not if you're holding on to it and not if you're trying to hide it. Tell it to Jesus. It's not perfect words. It's an open and honest, open heart. And you know what? You'll receive a release from a Savior who is your friend. He's your high priest who sympathizes with your struggles, with your weaknesses. He has TLC towards you. He wants to tender, loving care you right where you are. And so I'm telling you, come to him often. Come to him all the time. Have those long walk and talks with him. He's a right now help. You start seeing miracles when you do that, a fresh touch. Years ago, I was ministering to a teen conference. And, I'd shared about freshness in the Lord, how to have a fresh touch from God. And it come to the end of the meeting, and I did something I normally didn't do. I said, you know what? There's some folk that need to ask some questions on this. And there was a couple stood up toward the back. They said, we know what you preached. We know it's real. But our heart's cold. We're cold. We're just not there. What do we do about that? I said, you're in a great place. You know what you do? You just tell them. What do you mean, just tell them? I said, just tell them. I said, follow my lead here. And I just let them, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, my heart's cold. A heart's heart. I'm just being honest. I'm not there. But I want to be. Would you help me get there? I lean on you. Amen. Okay. I went on to some other people. And you know what? It wasn't but just a little while. The guy stood back up, big smile on their face. He said, we got a fresh touch from Jesus. And you know what? That wasn't a pastor. That wasn't T. Hall on the ball, nothing. You know what? They leaned on the Lord, and the Lord gave them a fresh touch. Somebody say exchange. That's what he's famous for. That's what the cross paid for. Okay? Hallelujah. I'm not even quite through with my intro. He's a right now help. Are you ready to start seeing miracles of fresh touch? Freedom life in the very areas that you struggle. Here's your key. Submit them to him. He removes the blockage. Hey, I can't tell you how many Christians I've talked to who say, well, I'm just stuck, man. I'm stuck. I don't know why. Don't know how I got there. I said, that's not the most important thing. Most important thing is that you get free. I don't have to think about what all you did to get stuck. What Jesus is interested in right now, because all that stuff's under the blood, right now is getting you free. And the way to get free is to seek him and surrender to him. And you know what? He brings a fresh touch. I want to just read you some scripture and I'm finished, okay? This is Psalm 46, 1 through 5. God is our refuge and strength, a very present and well-proved help in trouble. Therefore, because that's true, therefore we will not fear, because fear is a blockage. Though the earth should change, and though the mountains shall be shaken in the midst of the seas. Now, that's some big stuff going on the outside. Listen to this. Boy, if Peter had remembered this scripture. Though its waters roar and foam, he'd still be walking on water if he knew that he remembered it. This is why it's important for us to remember it. The best way to remember this truth about God is to practice it by coming to Jesus. Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at the swelling, there is a river. Somebody say, hallelujah, that's Jesus. There is a river whose streams shall make glad this city of God. This city of God. Your house, city of God. The holy place. This is the holy place now. You are a walking, talking worship center. The very presence of God goes wherever you go. Peace. Peace is there. Wherever you go, peace. I was sharing with the beautiful blonde the other day. I believe that the favor and the blessing of God is so on us that when we go into a business, they get more business. You remember us talking about that? Man, you watch. We go in, hardly anybody there. We're there for a few minutes, people start pouring in. I want to tell you, that's not Papa T and the First Lady. That's the favor of Jesus. But I want to tell you, we've walked into homes that were very disturbed, peace. We've walked into homes that were very sick, healing. Hey, we've walked into homes that were very needy, presence, Jesus, life. That shouldn't be shocking. Because Jesus told the disciples, when you walk into a home, you speak life. You speak peace. You speak grace to them. And you let God be God. They receive it. Okay. Look at this right here. There is a river. That's your Jesus. Holy Spirit inside of you right now is a living stream. A river of living water bubbling up in you. Unlimited supply. Do you see that? God is in the midst of you. Great is the Holy One. Mighty is the Holy One inside of you. Mighty. Resurrection power. Resurrection life. She shall not be moved. Even though everything around you is being shaken, you can be on foundation. God will help her right early. Now, that's talking about the dawn of the morning. And so I'm not telling you you won't have a night. I'm not telling you you won't have a season. But this is what our hope is in the Lord. And we wait upon the Lord because we know morning's coming. Dawn's coming. Hey, this sadness, this anxiety, this struggle may last through the night. But joy comes in the morning. That's his name. He's already there, but I'm talking about the manifestation of it. Is Jesus worth waiting on the manifestation? He says, you're worth it. Let's wait upon the Lord and receive an exchange of his strength. That's for us today. Why don't you bow your heads? And you're here today, and you've got the battle that you're facing. There's different names of that battle. It don't matter. I'm telling you, the same grace paid for it all. The same victory on the cross paid for the victory, because I'm announcing to you, and the cross has made it manifest, that the battle is the Lord's. The victory is the Lord's. Let the battle be the Lord's and not yours. And so today there needs to be surrender of some battle. There needs to be some people saying, Lord, I submit to waiting upon you. Till I receive, I will ask, seek, and knock. I will rest in you till I receive the breakthrough and the rescue, the exchange, my weakness for your strength. If that's you today, why don't you raise your hand? Our leadership's going to come and just lay hands on you and pray over you. Thank you for being honest before the Lord. Remember, honesty and openness before the Lord. Y'all raise your hand one more time. Leadership wasn't looking. Leadership, let's go for it. Okay, thank you. Pronto andale. Okay, we've got a number of people to pray for this morning. Who else? Raise your hand. Thank you for that.